You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. How would you feel about your boss demanding that you undergo genetic testing and handing over those results to the boss? And if you refuse, you could wind up paying a penalty of up to 30% of the total cost of your health insurance. A bill that has just cleared a House committee last week would do exactly that. It's called the Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act. It was approved by the House Committee on Education and the Workforce last Wednesday in a vote that ran right along party lines with all 22 Republicans, including Michigan Representative Tim Walberg, supporting the measure, and all 17 Democrats opposing it. Elizabeth Barclay is a professor of management at Oakland University. She's been studying genetic testing and workplace discrimination for many years now. So glad to have you with us, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
What would this bill allow employers to do with the results of their employees' genetic testing results?
Well, it's a little unclear. It's possible that there could be additional costs for insurance. With a lot of the current wellness programs, they're tied to health insurance plans, and if you don't undergo cholesterol and blood pressure testing, then you pay a higher medical premium. So it's possible that if employees don't do this, they will be paying higher charges. And especially in employment at will state, employers can terminate you for any reason. A number of years ago up in Lansing, there were several employees who did not stop smoking, and they only smoked at home, and they were terminated by their boss because they didn't quit smoking. So it's possible that you could see terminations. You could possibly see employees not getting promoted into or responsible positions or not given access to training because of perceptions about their genetic background.
Doesn't this Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act, doesn't it blow a big hole in the existing protection under the federal law known as GINA, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act? That one blocks employers from insisting that we be genetically tested. And if it's part of a wellness program, it can be voluntary, right?
But if you're not voluntarily participating in the wellness program, then you're going to probably pay higher insurance premiums for your medical care. But one of the things that I think is interesting from what I've read so far is with a lot of these wellness programs, especially if they're tied into health care, this means that it's possible that the employee's spouse or partner would also be genetically tested or required to be tested. That person's not an employee. And then if I'm giving my genetic test to my employer, that also tells people about my children who aren't employees.
Why do employers want this, Elizabeth?
Well, I think that part of it seems to be driven by the idea of trying to reduce healthcare costs. So a lot of the wellness programs have their stated purpose of reducing healthcare costs and increases in insurance because people will be healthier. Some of the research seems to indicate that those programs don't have as much of an impact as employers had hoped, and rates are still going up. So I think that they're looking for different tools to try to reduce those costs. I'm not sure from looking at the bill that's proposed how it would empower or enable individuals to be healthier. What if you find out that you have a genetic disease that in 50 years might cause significant problems? Is that something that's relevant to your employer now? Does it really increase your health care costs now versus 50 years from now when you might already be retired?
These volunteer wellness programs, as you say, so much is centered around them and, you know, get healthy, you know, the yoga classes and the weight loss and quit smoking programs that are offered by the company. But the voluntary part doesn't seem so voluntary when you look closer. What is going on here? Because there certainly seems to be some legal maneuvering.
When we talk about this in our human resource management classes here, it sounds like it's being very supportive of employees, but I think a lot of it comes down to employer costs. There are people who go out and they try to be healthy regardless of one of these programs. If the only part of the program that you must adhere to is having some medical tests once a year, that doesn't necessarily encourage you to change your lifestyle or to eat healthier. In some ways, it also changes the relationship between you and your doctor, too, in terms of things that you might be able to do or be proactive to do.
Now, the ACA had already opened the door for employers to kind of get more directly involved in their employees' health. StatNews.com, which first reported on this pending bill, said the ACA allows employers to charge employees 30% and possibly 50% more for health insurance if they don't participate in the voluntary wellness programs. And the Obama administration ruled a workplace wellness program counts as voluntary, even if you have to pay thousands of dollars more in premiums and deductibles if you don't participate. What are your thoughts on what the ACA already allows, and how much of a change is this new proposal?
From reading the proposal, it looked like they were trying to clarify for employers what they could or couldn't do. But once again, when I'm looking at a lot of the wellness programs, while some employers might have gym memberships, I don't think they're requiring people to check in and show how often they go to the gym or they don't go to the gym. Here we have a wellness program, but the primary driver for lower health insurance is having your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and your weight checked once a year through the plan. And that's all that's submitted here for employees. So I think it just ties back into what people can be charged for their insurance over some lower rate.
You touched on a point that I wanted to get into a little more with you, that there seems to be some question about how effective these wellness programs are. And you stop and think it's an $8 billion industry, according to Stat News. What is your take? Are they effective, or what's the push, and why do companies like them if, as you say, costs are still going up?
It depends on the company. Like, I know that larger organizations like Microsoft really have a wide variety of things they do. So when you're hired at Microsoft, you have access to a gym that's conveniently located. You can also use wellness money to purchase a bicycle so you can bike to work, or you can buy exercise equipment and you have an account that you use that's not connected to your insurance. And so those kinds of incentives are particularly attractive to new employees and millennials. It really fits in with how they're viewing their lifestyle. Now, if you have a company that there's no conveniently located gym and your wellness program is that we're going to give you a pedometer and try to get everyone to walk 10,000 steps a day, but no one reports in, then you have a different impact.
So you can't paint them with the same brush.
Mm-hmm.
Who's lining up to oppose this new bill, the Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act?
There's a large group that I just started reading about, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AARP, the March of Dimes, the National Women's Law Center, the House Democrats. Other medical and health advocacy groups are also lining up against this. And I think it has to do with who has access to this information. Now, it's interesting because we have laws protecting your health record. So, like, who gets these? Does it stay with the examining physician? If you're in an HMO and you have a primary care physician, have you been referred out to a genetic counselor to get these tests? Or are we all going to send our DNA into one of the, there's a number of places you can have your DNA done now. I mean, where's the store? Do we keep it in employee files? Who has access to it?
Yeah.
Who can interpret it? So if somebody's a carrier for a genetic condition, it's possible that means they're not going to get it. But is somebody going to interpret that as they have a disease?
Boy, there are so many questions. Now, unless I'm wrong, it appears that under this proposal, employers wouldn't be able to see the individual names connected to genetic testing information. Is that information correct?
I'm not sure about that. I do know that with health insurance vendors, when they have discussions with employers, the names are blocked out. But depending on the size of your company, you may know who the high user of insurance is just because everyone kind of knows what's going on. Like if somebody had used $100,000 of health insurance in a year because of some severe problem with them or a family member, you probably know who that is even though it's redacted.
It doesn't take much to connect the dots, does it?
Mm-mm.
These wellness programs are so often run by contracted third parties, and as you talk about questions, it's certainly, here's another question, if they compile genetic testing information on Company A's employees, how restricted would they be from sharing that information either back to the company or outside marketers, for instance?
Yes, I think one of the news reports since this came out indicated that then employees may be targeted by through advertisements based on their results.
If this bill passes as written, Elizabeth, what options would people have if they don't want to hand over their genetic information to their employer?
I suppose that when one was looking for a job, one would want to find out whether this was part of the organization's strategy. On the other side, if it does pass, it does look like employers can charge a premium. I don't know whether employers would want to charge up to 30% more. I think that that could precipitate people searching for different jobs where this wouldn't be an issue.
That could be a really big kick in the wallet, couldn't it, when you're thinking about the annual cost?
And if you're looking at who might be against it, it might be people who are more educated about what happens with genetic tests and how they can be used. Maybe they would be more mobile about relocating to a different, less onerous environment.
What are you going to be watching for as this House Bill 1313 moves forward in the House?
I'd like to see what some of the discussion is. I read through the bill this week, and it doesn't look like everything is there. I don't see how this gets implemented or how it's going to affect employees beyond, you know, the news articles right now talking about the financial hit. But I really do think that there has to be more of a discussion of the ethics of this in terms of what are the implications. Because with a lot of our other legislation that tries to protect people, it's obvious gender, ethnicity, race, national origin, age, possibly physical disabilities. But this, when you're doing this genetic testing, it's not just that person. It's a whole network of people who aren't associated with that organization. It's your parents and your grandparents and your grandchildren. And that information would then be somewhere. And I just don't know how that's going to play out.
Elizabeth Barclay, Professor of Management at Oakland University. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
We reached out to Representative Wahlberg's office to get the congressman's perspective on why he supports this bill. They did not respond to our request for an interview.